Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. My name is Michael, the Hebrew Hammer Brown, and I'm here hosting another episode of The Dream Take podcast live here on Spotify Green Room. And holy hell, what did we just watch? The Rockets were down nearly the entire game to the Atlanta Hawks. They find a way to muster up a comeback in the fourth quarter and defeat the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta for the second road win of the season. We have got a lot to talk about here on Spotify Green Room. We would love to talk to all of you, the fans here who are joining us on Spotify Green Room. We thank you as we do each and every show for joining us. We want to get your thoughts on what we witnessed tonight in the 132-126 win over the coming into the game 13-13 Atlanta Hawks. They dropped a 13-14 with this loss. The Rockets improved to 9-18. Guys, I really, there are so many things we can talk about with this game. I mean, do you want to talk about the fact that Steven Silas, for the run down the stretch, benched Christian Wood? He left KJ Martin, or excuse me, he left the likes of Jayshon Tate was on the bench for a vast majority of that fourth quarter. I mean, it really just was. I'm sorry, like we're recording this show, or I should say, I'm recording this show 30 seconds after the game is over. And, I mean, you really just can't say enough about this Rockets team. I mean, you think the entire game, you know, they're down by 10 after the first. They're down by 11 at half. They're down by 13 going into the fourth quarter. I mean, you got to start with the performance of David Nwaba tonight. I mean, I can't believe he only played 11 minutes in this game because it feels like he played nearly 40 minutes. In 11 minutes, this guy was plus 17, 10.6 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, holy, he did on the job that he did on Trae Young down the stretch was special. I mean, let's talk about Trae Young. 36 minutes, 14 of 22 from the field, had 41 points. But in the 36 minutes he was on the floor, he was only a plus 4. And for people who aren't as familiar with the plus minus stat that I like to use as often as possible, plus minus is, especially in a game like this, the more minutes a guy is on the court, the more the plus minus stat means. Because, for example, right, you look at, as we're talking about this, I'm joined by my co-host, the great, the phenomenal, Ray Lucas Jr. Ray, I feel like it's been forever since we've talked. How are you?
I'm great, and it has been quite a while, but I chose a good day to come on. So,
oh my God. I'm pretty sure the shows that you've done this year, we've won, I think, at least 80% of the shows.
Yeah, I know the last one was the end of the losing streak, I think, and so this one's the comeback win. Yeah, I think that's a fair stat. I don't know for sure.
Someone, I got you. This, but what a game, man. I mean, what are your first early thoughts before we start to get into it?
I think it was, you know, they went down in the first half, but then they fought back, and then they started to go down again in the third quarter, and that felt like the one that would be the knockout punch. But, I mean, the fourth quarter, they just dug deep, like, deeper than probably most of us expected them to dig. And I think there's certain games, like there's a lot of losses where they're like character building, but I think a win like this is what shows character and what shows that character that's been being built, because that was a tough win. If I was betting when the fourth quarter started, I would be broke right now.
Yeah. I mean, David Nwaba, and I'm so happy for a guy like David Nwaba, because he's been overlooked with this rotation the entire year. And it really didn't make sense to me initially, because you signed him to a 3-year, $15 million contract. and you're not playing them. And it just never made sense. And I think one big takeaway from me from tonight's game is the fact that if you have a guy like a David Nwaba, either he's a really good trade chip, but I don't want to trade David Nwaba. Like, I think the long-term viability of him on the roster for the next 3 years, he's so good for these young kids, I feel like. And tonight was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I think he's like, my voice is going out a little bit. I don't know what's going on. I think he's like the ultimate pro. He, you know, we haven't really heard from him, even though he hasn't been on the floor. There hasn't really been any complaints. There hasn't been anything going on Twitter. And he just comes in and plays such a big part. And I think guys like that are important because not only is he athletic, but he defends super well. And I think Trae Young had 41 points tonight, but he played like a substantial impact in slowing him down because Trae Young was playing like he was going to win the game himself, but he wasn't able to because Nwaba was up in him. And that's huge. And when you're a team full of young players, you need that guy where he's going to go and give you that defensive guarantee every night. And he's also someone that they could learn from moving forward. So yeah, I'm with you where it doesn't make too much sense. I kind of felt the same way about Armoni Brooks earlier in the season where you gave him a contract and now we're not really seeing him. So yeah, it's a little confusing, but maybe this will be a start of things, or maybe this will be a sign that things are changing.
I mean, DJ Augustine too tonight was so damn good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a pro's pro. I think that's the best way to describe it. I mean, 23 minutes, he was 7 of 9 from the field, 6 of 7, 22 points. Eric Gordon, I mean, 10 of 16, 5 of 8 from the three-point line. Eric Gordon, I know that there's a lot of speculation out there right now about him being eventually traded. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. What are your thoughts on, would you keep him? Would you trade him? I'm on the fence. Like, games like this bring me back to, if you're trading Eric Gordon, I better get something pretty damn good in return.
Yeah, and I think they do trade him closer towards maybe the deadline where teams are going to be a little bit more desperate. But I think they'll trade him strictly for, like, just doing him a favor. Like how they did Harden when they sent him to his preferred destination. I think they'll do the same type of thing with Gordon where we're like, okay, you gave us a lot of great years and we want you to go and be able to compete because – we're not really chasing that right now, but he was such a great player tonight. Same with Augustine. Those two guys especially felt like they were not going to lose that game. Down the stretch, they just had the ball in their hands every possession and were making plays. Some of those layups were high arcing and went in a little crazy that I didn't necessarily expect to go in. But yeah, I think they trade Gordon eventually, but mainly because they just want to do him a solid. And he deserves the opportunity to go in, playing those meaningful playoff games again, because you don't know how much longer he has in his career.
Do you feel like the organization owes that to Eric Gordon though? Because I know we've had conversations in the past, the podcast has, about what do organizations owe players? Because I'm of the opinion they don't owe Eric Gordon anything. They have to do what's best for the organization. And I feel like even if Gordon wants to be moved, I don't know. I don't know if that's what's best for the Rockets is moving on from Eric Gordon at this point. I mean, they're 9-18. The way that they played tonight, do I think that they're a playoff team? No, I don't. I think that they're going to compete in a lot more games, though, if they can replicate this type of performance from tonight. I think if you're trading Eric Gordon, unless it's for a guy that can immediately impact your team, mm-hmm. you're not getting that. And I think that that's almost doing a disservice to your roster. Is doing that. Unless you get blown away with an offer at the deadline, I don't think it's out of the realm of craziness to think that Eric Gordon is a Rocket until the end of the year.
Yeah, and that's, so when it comes to owing players, I think the only time where you owe a player and you're willing to, like, sacrifice your future is if the dude's come out and, you know, he's just been the greatest player in franchise history, has a bunch of championships. He's just this, you know, this legendary guy. And at that point, you're like, okay, we're going to take care of him because he took care of us for so long. But I think with Eric Gordon, they got to make the best deal possible for themselves because, you know, you want to show your appreciation and send him to a contender, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you should take.
I would send him to Siberia if Siberia gave me the best package. Mm-hmm. I don't care where I'm sending him.
Yeah, because it's like at the end of the day, you know, I think the difference is, as fans, it's, you know, like Kevin Durant, he left Golden State and went to Brooklyn. And the fans, you know, he doesn't deserve any boos. But the Warriors, they don't, like, they're not, they don't owe anything to Kevin Durant. It's more so, I think, a fan thing. But when you're talking about, like, an actual front office, an actual team trying to do a service for a player, I don't think that ever makes too much sense, because you sacrifice your future. And I know Kevin Durant's a little bit of a different situation because he didn't get traded, but it's just in the aspect of, like I don't think that Houston made the correct trade with Harden. I think they could have got more. And, you know, many feel like the fans shouldn't boo Harden, but those are, like, two different conversations. Like, the fans, Harden, the fans owe Harden respect if you feel that way, but the front office doesn't, is what I'm trying to get at. That was a really long way to explain, but yeah.
No. I mean, I feel you. I think the – I will tell you an observation that I had from tonight, and I've seen this – I've seen tons of comments about, you know, what do the Rockets need to do with, you know, the roster when Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. come back. Mm-hmm. People are out of their mind if they think this Rockets team is better without those two guys playing. Like, that's a joke. I think what tonight showed me, though, is that you're able to ease these guys back in. Like, somebody made a comment about sending Jalen Green to the bench. Okay, no, that's asinine. But I think tonight you showed that you don't have to play him 30 to 34 minutes a game. You know, you ease him back in into like a 20 to 24 type of minutes, and you get guys like David Nwaba good amounts of run on the court with. I think that would help this roster. I don't think it's necessarily taking away anything from the development of a Jalen Green by giving some of those minutes to other guys that have clearly shown that they can play.
Yeah, and I think that's like a – it's such a lazy, like, cheap shot, I think, at young players, is when they're like, you know, this team is better when he's not on the floor. Like, people will obviously, you know, because the hot takes, they'll look at Augustine's performance and they'll say, well – you know, Augustine right now is better for the Rockets. And the way I look at that is, if you put Augustine and Jalen Green to play one-on-one, Jalen Green's probably going to beat him every time. But Augustine's just, he's been in the league so long, and so his role is more established. Everything's a little bit more slower to him. But that doesn't mean that he's, like, better off for the Rockets, because, I mean, sure, they're losing right now, but they're not necessarily worried about right now. And, yeah, so when people start talking about how Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. should – be on the bench, or the Rockets are better off without them, it's kind of crazy to me. But
I mean it's asinine is what it is. What are your thoughts on, sorry, we could talk about a lot of this stuff for hours, but I want to make sure we get to a bunch of punch list items tonight. I'll tell you who did not look good tonight was Christian Wood. Mm-hmm. I thought Christian Wood looked lost tonight offensively. Tonight was one of those nights I feel like that I can understand why people would want him to be shopped at the deadline. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with it. Where do you stand on what you would like to see the Rockets do with Christian Wood? Are you in the camp of sign him to an extension? Or if you were making the call, would you be open to listening to what a package would look like for a Christian Wood?
I think I'd be open to listening, because moving forward, I know we talked about this a lot in the offseason, but we don't necessarily know how much better he can get. And he's a really good player right now, but we don't know if he's going to have like this super high ceiling. And so I think you listen to teams, but you don't take anything that feels like you're getting robbed. Like if you're going to trade him, then you better trade him for draft picks or young players or something extremely valuable. But yeah, I'm open to conversation, because, you know, if it's like, There's not going to be any like realistic type of package for a guy like Jalen Green, because the Rockets are like, we don't know what his ceiling is, but we believe that it's super high. And I think that's different with Christian Wood, because he's really good, but I mean, you don't know how much better he's going to get. And also you don't know how healthy he'll stay. So those are like two things there.
Right. I would be doing a disservice if I didn't ask you, would you do a deal for Christian Wood for like a Miles Turner?
That'd be interesting.
A package that potentially could have an Eric Gordon on the way out. And if, you know, okay, Eric Gordon and Christian Wood for Malcolm Brogdon, Miles Turner, and a first round pick.
I don't know if they'll give that much, but yeah, I'd make a deal for Miles Turner. As long as the Rockets don't have to give up any picks, there's no deal that I would do if I'm the Rockets where I have to give up picks, because if anybody's giving up picks, it should be the other team. So yeah, I'd do that super quick.
I mean, Turner's averaging 13 points. What is he averaging? 7 rebounds. So his rebounding numbers are down a little bit. Tonight is just fun, man. Like, tonight was just so much fun to watch this team come back in the fourth quarter like they did, you know?
One of those, you know, there's sometimes when there's those comebacks where a team just kind of looks dead and a team stops making shots, so it's like just a
right.
big run. But the Hawks were making shots for a while. Like, it felt like it'd just be this deficit that they wouldn't be able to quite overcome, because every time the Rockets would cut it down to maybe 3, the Hawks would hit a layup or they'd hit a 3 and then push it back out. So it was like a just digging deep and dialing in, because that was not an easy one to come back for. Like I was saying, like, sometimes, you know, a team just goes cold, but that wasn't the case. The Hawks were extremely active in that fourth quarter. The Rockets just took it from them.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a tweet from Adam Spillane. Now, the Rockets are 2 games back for the final play-in spot. I mean, come on, man. The way that they were performing, I would say, what, a month ago? If I were to tell you they would be 2 games back from the play-in spot, I mean, you would have called me nuts. And I'm saying this, man. I want them I would love for them to make it into the playoffs. That's all I'm going to say. Do I think that they can play with the upper echelon teams in the West? No, I don't. But I'm going to tell you this. A healthy Rockets team with the talent that they have right now, if they were to make it there, they could make some of those teams' lives uncomfortable. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say they're going to win. I'm not going to guarantee a win. I'm going to say they would make it uncomfortable for a couple of teams if they found a way to sneak into the play-in tournament. What, you think Portland's that much better than us? No, I don't.
Yeah, I think when you say that, I think I compare it to kind of like you know, when the Grizzlies played the Jazz last year in the playoffs, nobody really gave Memphis a shot. But Memphis, there were times when Memphis, it felt like Memphis would go and take that series from them, even though it was really just Jaw with the team, the city, and everything, Memphis on his back. And so I think I agree with you there, because they're a feisty team, they're a young team, and you never know who could get hot. And, you know, I mean, you get there and you might not win the series, you might not even win a game, but you never know what could happen when the playoffs come around. Now, if I don't know if that'd be best for their rebuild, but I mean, me, and I'm sure you're the same way. If you have an opportunity to win games, then you win those games and just see what happens later.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm looking at the teams in front of them. I mean, the Spurs are 10-16. The Kings are 11-17. Portland's 11-16. Minnesota's 12-15. I mean, they're 4 wins out of the 7 seed. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think that this Rockets team can keep this up and get wins like they did tonight? No. I honestly think the roster is exhausted right now. And I mean, they're missing, what, 3 of their rotational pieces? You know, and they have been for a couple weeks. Yeah. You know, I just think that the Rockets are doing – I think I'm more happy for Steven Silas than anybody on this roster right now, because we were all dogging him. We all were.
So much less stressed. Going back to your point that you were making, I think for that to happen, the Rockets would have to have one of those guys that just are – because, you know, Portland has Dame. And so, you know, Dame, eventually he's going to – it hasn't been the hottest start for him, but eventually he's going to turn it on and be able to drag them. I think for that to happen, the Rockets would have to – I don't know who it would really be. Maybe Eric Gordon. They'd have to have someone that kind of drags them through the tough nights like they had with Harden for so long. But – yeah, going back to Silas, he looks so much less stressed. He looks like he's enjoying his job again. I think I seen a quote on Twitter. I don't remember it word for word, but he was saying, like, he's around Houston and people will come up and say, good game last night, coach, or great job. Yeah. And there are other times when he would rather stay in the house. And, you know, we hear that and we're like, oh, wow. But then, like, when you really think about it as a person, like, that has to be mentally exhausting. So it's super cool to see him feeling like he's enjoying things again.
Yeah, and if, by the way, if you're out on the streets and you're trash talking a coach of one of the professional sports teams in your city for any reason at all, you're a loser. Yeah, I mean, just go ahead and get that out there right now, especially if he's with, like, family. Like, that's just a terrible look. There's a difference between being critical of the guy, because I was critical of Silas because I thought he wasn't managing this roster in the right way. Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, tonight it takes – I'm not going to put it on the same level as – correct me if I'm wrong, right, because I know I'm going to get this wrong. And we do have our first caller, Adam, that we're going to get to here in a minute or so. Who is the head coach – when we were playing the Clippers in the playoffs, who was the head coach at that point when they benched Harden when the Rockets came back in the fourth quarter against? Who was it? Oh, was it McHale? I think no,
maybe it was a while ago.
Yeah, yeah, it may have been McHale. But I'm just saying, like, it's not on that same level. But it took a lot for me as a fan to look at it tonight. It is Kevin McHale. Tonight, to leave Tate on the bench and to leave Christian Wood on the bench and go with Nwaba, who hasn't played in a couple weeks down the stretch. Like, those are coaching decisions that you get as the as your career progresses. Like, he's starting to get a better feel for the game, Silas is, I feel like. Like, he's knowing what buttons to press and when. And he's being put in that situation because of injuries, but still, you know, he could have very easily left Wood in the game tonight. He very easily could have gone, you know, left Garrison Matthews in the game. And he didn't. Pulled those guys and he went with the hot hands, and they rewarded him with a massive win.
Yeah, I think earlier in the season, a lot of the criticism was because, you know, the rotation, but more so that there was a handful of guys that felt like he was willing to live or die with instead of digging deep in the bench or maybe letting someone else come and change the energy. So, like you're saying, that's big. That shows a lot of growth because you could put those guys in and the game could get ugly real fast. But the fact that you took that chance and was confident enough in those guys to have them go and try to win that game, that's big. And like you're saying, that's super important.
For sure. Let's go to our first caller of the night, Adam, good friend of the show. Welcome. What you got for me tonight, my man? Adam, you are on the mic with Mike and Ray. Going once. Going twice, Adam. Send you back to the gulag, my man. Ray, we'll continue with looking forward, man, a little bit. And I'm not look at the schedule and guarantee, you know, what's going to go on in the next couple weeks. But you look at the Rockets' schedule, right? You go to Cleveland on Wednesday. That's going to be a great matchup. I can't wait for that. You got Mobley, you know, Christian Wood, a lot of star power on the court. And then you go, you have the Knicks at home and you have at Detroit. Those are three games I feel like are all winnable in my eyes. I don't see a game there that I say the Rockets are definitely outmanned by any one of those three teams.
Yeah, I think those are, with how they're limited, since they don't have their key guys, I think those are games where you're at least like, all right, we need them to be competitive and not to get blown out. Because I don't know if they'll necessarily have enough to win it, especially against Cleveland, because Cleveland has Garland, who's just been a monster. And then, yeah, they're just a really well-rounded team. Kind of surprising, but maybe it's not so surprising because they're super well-built. But, yeah, so I don't know if they'll necessarily win any of those games, but I think they could if they were healthy. But, yeah, really just looking for them to be competitive because you don't want to have a game like this and then show regression by going out and losing by a lot against. Like, neither of these three teams are necessarily championship contenders, maybe not so much even playoff contenders. Well, maybe the Knicks because they're on the East. But, yeah, so really just looking for competitiveness.
Yeah, and looking at the box score from tonight as well, Rockets only turned the ball over 11 times. That's what I'm looking for when you're playing a DJ Augustine 23 minutes a night, or in a night, I should say. They look much more – they're running offensive sets. And I still think with a guy like Eric Gordon, there's a lot of just give me the ball and get out of the way. But every team needs that at some times. Not all the time, but they need a guy that's just like, give me the ball, let me go get a bucket. But only 11 turnovers tonight. The Rockets shot 19 of 46 from the three-point line, 41.3%. The adage really is true. Like, if you're going to hit your three-point shots at that clip, you're going to have a decent shot to win a good number of games. And don't be fooled. Atlanta, throw the record out the window. That's a damn good Atlanta team that they just beat tonight.
Yeah, Atlanta. I was thinking that too, that, you know, record doesn't really tell the story because, I mean, obviously, if you watch basketball, you know what Atlanta did last year. They were scary in the playoffs. At times, it felt right. like they might be able to get past Milwaukee, but then Giannis was just on another level. I think what you really wanted to say was they look like an NBA team. They look like a basketball team, finally, because they were just not necessarily finally down because they've been winning recently. But when you look at the start of the season, the paint was clogged. They had two big men on the floor at all times. They didn't have any spacing. Nobody was knocking down threes. They were not only getting, like, throwing lazy passes, but some of the passes were just flying out of bounds. They just looked bad. And so now that they've had more time to kind of get in sync and get used to each other, and now that they have some more veteran play, everything looks a lot more clean. And I think it helps the young players like Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green when they come back, because we've seen KPJ, when he was out and came back, he was looking a lot better because I think the offense was looking better. So now he was able to, like, come in and play in a structured setting rather than whatever they was doing at the start of the season. So it's promising.
Yeah, and Josh Christopher, you know, he looked lost defensively tonight, but he still gave you great energy. He's an energy guy. And I thought one thing that was very underrated to me was at the end of the game, a guy like – we haven't talked at all about Gerald Green being a part of this coaching staff and traveling with the team. Mm-hmm. The team is just – the vibes are really good with this team. Like, they played Milwaukee hard. You know, they were there up until the fourth quarter. You know, Milwaukee had to pull away from them late. And that's not a fluke loss, by the way. I mean, they lost by what? I think 8 or 9 points. But Giannis played. Chris Middleton played. Drew Holiday played. And the Rockets are playing without Daniel House, who was playing well for, you know, the 7 to 10 days before he got hurt. They're playing without Kevin Porter Jr. and they're playing without Jalen Green. The Rockets are getting better. There is absolutely no way that you can look at this team and honestly assess it and say they're not getting better game by game. What in your eyes, what is going to happen when they do bring back Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green? Because you have to put him in the starting lineup. I mean, we're on the same page there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be interesting. I think there's going to be more hot takes flying because I'd assume that they're going to struggle a little bit because that's, you know, not only adding one guy back to the lineup, but adding two, especially when both guys play guard, that's bound to create a few headaches. But I mean, I think it'll just eventually become this smooth transition again. And I think the veterans help them a lot. And the veterans are going to be a big part in how much success they have because we've seen them at the start of the year and everything felt kind of hectic because everyone was getting used to playing with each other. A lot of guys, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. going into the season, he's like, okay, I have to have a big year. And Jalen Green, he's rookie of the year aspiration. So there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot on the mental side of things. And now it feels like everyone's playing with way less stress. And, you know, Josh Christopher is playing. He looks like he's not sitting on the bench worried about minutes because he wasn't really getting some at the start of the year. Now he looks like, okay, my role is starting to get established on this team and I can just go out there and play basketball. So I think initially there's going to be some moments where things look a little rough, but over time it's just, they look so much better and the structure feels so much better. So I think they'll probably play better when those guys come back. It will take a little bit, but I think we're going to see them play at their best.
Yeah, I got to tell you also, before I forget, probably my favorite moment of the night was the dunk by Tate at the end. Mm-hmm. And I know somebody's going to have some stupid-ass take about, that's not the way you play the game of basketball. That's not the way you do it. If you've already won the game, why do you have to go get a dunk? Because you play until the horn blows.
Yeah, can we
and leave if you're gonna,
rules in baseball? We don't need those in basketball.
Stupid. Have fun. Okay, so we're on the same page, right? Because I absolutely loved it. I loved them booing him. I loved him not caring. If you're not going to go play defense until the final horn blows, then you know what? You deserve to get dunked on. That's where I'm at.
especially when it wasn't a game where there was a bunch of tension. So there wasn't like a thing of like in your face or any disrespect. It was just, you know, the ball, he could do it. He can make that dunk. He probably is looking forward to it because he doesn't get those opportunities all the time. So why not do it? Especially when you're a young player. Like if it's a veteran, you know, if it's LeBron or Westbrook, then I could see people kind of feeling a certain way about it because we've heard those guys be vocal about that situation. But I mean, just let people have fun, man. This is basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's basketball, and it's you need a guy like a Jayshon Tate. And I know there was a lot of talk preseason about Jayshon Tate. Do you start him? Do you bench him? I mean, you got to be all in on him being, I mean, a starter for sure at this point. What do you think the outlook is for a guy like a Jayshon Tate over the next, I would say 3 years would be my first question. The second part would be, I mean, if you're the Rockets front office, are you looking to upgrade Jayshon Tate, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if he'll start by the time the Rockets become contenders, but I think he's a very important piece because, I mean, you know, they might go out and draft a player that's better than him at his position, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be doomsday for him. I think it's just, all right, we really like what you bring, but we'd rather bring you off the bench. Even in a six-man role, those guys still, like Lou Williams, he's come off the bench his whole career, but every time crunch time rolls around in NBA games and playoff games, he's out there on the court. So
yeah.
I think that's where I like Jayshon Tate. I mean, he might start, I think, if he keeps – progressing, and if the Rockets don't end up drafting a small forward, then he could very well be starting. But I think he'd be best off the bench.
Yeah, he averages 12 points. He turns the ball over twice a game, which is a little high for a guy that's in his position, but they do ask him to handle the ball a lot. He averages 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, and a steal a game. Mm-hmm. Shoots 72% from the free throw line. He just feels like this is why, to me, this Rockets roster and team are so intriguing because there's so many layers to this, right? Yeah. There's the, what do you do with Christian Wood? You got John Wall sitting in the wings. You've got an Eric Gordon, you know, David Nwaba play, you know, showed tonight that he could potentially be worth something on the trade market. Do you trade David Nwaba? What can you get for a Daniel House? You've got, you know, a backcourt that's not even 21 years old, respectively, yet. You know, you've got a Daniel Tice sitting at the end of your bench. What are you going to do with him at the deadline? I mean, the storylines are just endless. You got a guy in Garrison Matthews that no one knew who this guy was unless you were a diehard basketball fan 6 weeks ago. And now he's hitting a little bit of a wall, which is expected, right? You expect a guy who wasn't playing meaningful basketball 6 weeks ago, and you're asking him to play 27 to 32 minutes a night, yeah, he's going to hit a wall. That's why you need your guys to come back. But are we on the same page, or do you differ that, am I making too much of this, or are the Rockets one of the more intriguing rosters to watch over the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, I think they're in such a beautiful position when you look at the rebuild, because you have a guy like Christian Wood who you can trade him and you can boost up your rebuild really fast. You could get draft picks and you could get young talent. Same thing for Eric Gordon. I don't know if you'd get as much, but you're still going to get that. And so right now they're in a blessed position because their young players are playing really well. They're getting a lot out of guys like Garrison Matthews, who, although eventually, you know, defenses has adjusted, they're not like, you know, who's this guy out here hitting all these threes? I think he's showing that he can be a part of the Rockets' future as like a three-point specialist. So for them, this is where, you know, they were struggling for a long time. And sure, that might ensure that you get the number one pick, but you also want to be able to make something out of what you have. And so they're just blessed right now because we don't know what the trade deadline is going to look like. I'd assume they're going to be very active, and I assume they're going to make moves to get younger and to get future assets. So yeah, if I'm Houston's front office, I'm crying tears of joy because it feels like in the future the only way things will go wrong is if guys get injured. I can't see them making mistakes really, because it feels hard to make a mistake. You're gonna have some top picks. You're gonna have some late first round picks through trades. It just feels like they should be good in a couple of years.
Would you escalate the rebuild in a trade in the next 12 to 18 months for a franchise type guy?
Yeah, I would. Because okay. I think it's hard to you could be patient and you could be like, okay, we want to build to the draft. But like I said, you know, injuries happen and it's unfortunate, but it's a part of basketball. Like if you look at Portland, they drafted Greg Oden, they drafted Brandon Roy. It hurts me to say because Brandon Roy is a Seattle guy, but they drafted those two guys, obviously different years, but they drafted those two guys with the same vision that, wow, this is big. This is big for our franchise. And although Brandon Roy gave them some meaningful years, Greg Oden was never really able to do that. So in my eyes, if you have the opportunity to land somebody who's really going to make an impact and who you really believe is going to be your franchise cornerstone, then you go for it because you never know what could happen.
I'm going to give you the guy, and don't think I'm nuts. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox is that guy to watch if I'm a Rockets fan.
Yeah, I like De'Aaron Fox a lot. I liked him at Kentucky. I think he stood out to me a lot when they played against UCLA. So that second game, the first game, I think it was a little more subtle, that regular season game they played. But when they played UCLA in the Sweet 16, he was a monster. And I actually think he had a good regular season game too. But yeah, I'm a big fan of him. I don't know if the name necessarily jumps off the chart for a lot of fans, but I think that's more so because he's in Sacramento where, you know, no one's really watching the Kings unless you're a Kings fan.
But that's the type of guy that you look at, because across the league right now, there's really not a lot of those guys that fit the Rockets window. You know, you look at a guy like a Bradley Beal if he eventually wanted out, Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons. Although I think Simmons is probably my favorite of those types of guys. If you're the Rockets, you don't sell the farm for any of those guys because it's not going to help you now. You look at a guy like a De'Aaron Fox. I mean, he's what, 24, 25 years old? Mm-hmm. I got to try and find his age. But no, he's much younger than that. I'm looking at the game tonight. He's 24. Thank you, Mike. 24 years old. And watching the game tonight, the Rockets are not as far off. They're farther along in the rebuild than I think a lot of fans thought that they would be. And I know that there's going to be two schools of thought where there are going to be people that are not going to want to trade the picks. They're not going to want to do anything that takes away from any of the future assets that you have, right? I think what people are learning right now is that Boston did that when they had their treasure trove of picks, and it's backfired on them tremendously, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think,
you know, they just sat around and they were like, well, we're just going to hold on to these picks because we'll eventually be able to get somebody. And it turns out that they didn't pull the trigger on Harden. They didn't pull the trigger on or they didn't land the guys that they thought they were going to land. And now they're sitting there holding the bag, you know, not really having a move that they can make. And that's the last thing I want the Rockets to do, is be in that position.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, all these draft picks, it's not like all these guys are going to be on the roster. Like, they're going to have to make some moves with these draft picks eventually anyways. So I think – you know, you don't make the mistake that Boston made. And obviously it's on a different capacity. But if you look at – actually, no, you could compare Boston and you can compare the Lakers, where the Lakers, they traded their young talent. They traded draft picks because they wanted to go get Anthony Davis. And, you know, it's – they might not win another championship, but they won that one championship. And Boston did not make that move, and they do not look great right now. And so – I think that's just, even though the Rockets aren't necessarily on that stage yet, I think that's a lesson to, if you have a guy who you really think can help you, then you make that move, because you don't want to just be sat or sitting looking with a bunch of draft picks, because, you know, you might want the number one pick in the upcoming classes, but as we've seen, you might not get the number one pick. But we've also seen that just because you don't get the number one pick doesn't mean that your draft is done for, because Şengün was later in the round and he looks great. He looks like one of the best rookies in the league. So I think there's just simple lessons to be taken from just what we've seen, how teams have managed the draft picks. But I'm in the same boat as you, where if I have an opportunity to go get a young guy who I believe is going to alter my franchise, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah, it's a really – see, okay, so let me ask you this real quick before we move on to looking ahead to the next game. Mm-hmm. If you're the Lakers, was it worth it in your eyes?
I think I'd say it was worth it because they won a championship. I'd say it's worth it. I just don't know if they've made the best moves following it. But I think that initial trade, I think, set them up for what felt like big things to come in the future. Since then, I don't think they've managed things properly or managed things the best way. But yeah, the initial trade, I think you go and get Anthony Davis, you look extremely dominant, then the season takes a break, but then you come back and win a championship. To me, that's worth it because those things are so hard to come by. And, you know, who knows? They still have Anthony Davis. You never know what can happen down the road. Like LeBron might retire, but then they bring in another guy to pair with Anthony Davis. So the fact that they won one championship has been, what, two seasons? One championship, and it's only been two seasons. For me, that's a huge win. I'd do it again over and over.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. By the way, how in the world did Oklahoma City give up Alperen Şengün is beyond me. Just putting that out there. Before we wrap the show up, what are your early thoughts on what to look for in the game on Wednesday against Cleveland at 6 o'clock Central Time?
I think it will be interesting because, you know, Houston fans do not like the double big lineups, but they might need one playing against the Cavaliers because they're going to have Jared Allen out there. They're going to have Evan Mobley out there. That's just a really lengthy team. So to me, it'll be interesting to see what lineup they use to combat it, because I think if they go small, they're going to be in a lot of trouble really fast because they're not necessarily going to be scoring at the rim. They're not going to be getting a lot of rebounds. So yeah, it's also tough though, because if you go double big, then it kind of limits your spacing and it limits how much you could do. And then you're playing with a clogged paint. So, I mean, I'm not the head coach of the Rockets, so that's not my responsibility. I'll leave it to Silas and then see what he rolls out.
You want to talk about size, though? I'm looking at the box score from tonight. They defeated the Heat 105-94. Size-wise, they've got Lauri Markkanen. People will remember as a draft pick from Chicago. You've got Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and off the bench, Kevin Love had 23 points and 9 rebounds tonight. That's a massive team that they're going up against on Wednesday.
Yeah. So competitive early, maybe that game might not be so close because they don't have their guys and they don't have necessarily the size, but I mean, we'll see.
I'm going to tell you this right now though. Somebody, I think it was Jeremy who wanted, and some other fan wanted to talk to me about Ricky Rubio being some phenomenal player in the league. Okay. He had 7 points and 7 assists tonight. So, I still will stay with my statement that Ricky Rubio sucks, and he always has sucked. He always will suck in the league. Might just be my opinion. I just think he's been vastly overrated his entire career. Who played well for them tonight? Yeah, dude, they're balanced, man. Kevin Love had 23 tonight. Darius Garland had 16 points. Jared Allen had 17 and 8. Isaac Okoro had 18 and 5. Lauri Markkanen had 12 points. This is a big game for the Rockets. I mean, I think they're all big at this point, but how much fun would it be if they could back this win up with a win against the Cavaliers? I mean, I think it would be a huge win for them.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if Şengün outplays Mobley? Twitter is going to be insane. Like, the hot takes are going to be flying.
Twitter is already insanity.
Yeah, right. So it's going to be even crazier, like crazier than we've probably ever seen. So I think it's one of those games where it's fun. Like, obviously, you know, there's not a real beef between the Rocket fans and Evan Mobley. It's just basketball and being fun. But I think it will be really interesting because those are two guys who, you know, if Cleveland is really good and Houston's really good, those are two guys that we're going to see battling in the paint a lot. So we get a little preview at that.
I agree. Ray, it's been a pleasure. It always is, my man. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Make sure to check us out at The Dream Shake SBN. You can check out the podcast directly at The Dream Take. Head on over to thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets. Follow us on Facebook as well at The Dream Shake. Follow my co-pilot, Mr. Ray Lucas at
Raymond Lucas Jr.
Perfect. You can follow me on Twitter at BSW_MB. Once again, your very happy final tonight. Rockets 132, Hawks 126. We will be back live here on Wednesday after the game here on Spotify Green Room with me, hopefully Ray, maybe Jeremy will come in. But until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!